Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much, everybody. Hi, folks. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us. We're going to be talking to an absolutely amazing gentleman today. He specializes in the world of safety and OSHA. Let me give you a little background, because I think you're going to find this really amazing. As you can understand, keeping workers safe and productive can make or break a business, no question about that. It's why OSHA compliance is not just a box that has to be checked, it's a way of life. And you know, of course, also that OSHA stands for the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. It's become one of the most important parts of running a business. OSHA regulations exist to prevent injuries and fatalities in the first place. Before OSHA, by the way, the annual fatality rate here in the U.S. from business accidents was over 50,000 people a year. But with OSHA, that number has been reduced down to 5,000, which is pretty doggone amazing. Most employers are receptive to OSHA's regulations. Some of them, you know, have problems, but bottom line is they do give in and are receptive. They understand that using these as guidelines helps make their work better and their workers safer. They get much better rates on workers' compensation. They have better employee morale. And everything just works better when everyone is safe. That makes sense. Randy Gray is our guest today. He has 25 years of experience as an OSHA compliance officer. And today he is the founder of Greyhawk Safety and Health Consulting. It's a company dedicated to leading workplaces to a safer world. You know, it's interesting because upon completing his degree in occupational safety and health back in 1993, Randy was hired by OSHA in Kentucky as a compliance officer. And there he spent the next 25 years, the last 11 of which as a specialist in charge of catastrophic and critical fatal and non-fatal events. According to Randy, most fatalities happen within just a few seconds. Almost all fatalities and injuries are preventable, and the vast majority of them are the result of human failure, human mistakes. Whenever you're dealing with OSHA, he points out, there's very little gray area involved, and it's usually almost always black and white. What also is interesting, Randy has become an expert witness in a lot of legal cases. He's assisted in over 94 cases as an expert witness. He says that there are a lot of people who do safety and health expert work, but most of them don't have real OSHA compliance experience. They'll say they're OSHA experts, but they never work for OSHA. And it takes years of experience to be an expert in his particular field, because you really do have to understand the standards that are applying to that specific business and how they're implemented. Anyway, as I pointed out today, he's the founder of Greyhawk Safety and Health Consulting. It's a company based in Benton, Kentucky, and he and his employees are dedicated to leading workplaces to a much safer world. It's really a pleasure to have Randy with us, because we don't get a chance to talk to fellows who do this kind of work very often. So let's welcome him, Randy Gray in Benton, Kentucky. Good afternoon, Randy. Randy, how are you? Nice to have you here.
I'm doing well. I hope you're doing well, and same. Look forward to talking to you here today.
Yeah, look, I'm really looking forward to talking to you, too, because I think your experience is really amazing. I can't help but wonder, what got you into this in the beginning when we pointed out, you know, you started working for OSHA and studying with them back in 1993. That's been a good while ago. What got you into this work to begin with?
Well, I had a hard time figuring out what I was going to do whenever I was in college, and I wound up landing in the safety and health profession. And whenever I was graduating, you know, I applied with OSHA and got the job, and I just stayed with it for 25 years up until a point where I could retire. And I started my own consulting firm after that, and was primarily just focused on just doing safety and health OSHA-style audits for anybody who wanted them, contractors, manufacturers. About a year into it, I got a call from an attorney, and he was telling me that his expert witness had retired and moved to Florida, and he needed somebody, and and he got my name from a friend of a friend of a friend, that kind of, you know, thing. So he gave me two fall cases, and I did those, and he referred me. The next attorney referred me, and next thing I know, I'm off and running, and I'm doing expert witness work.
Well, you've been doing this for a long time then, if that was, you know, that early on in your career. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I've been doing expert witness work. I've been doing consulting overall for 13 years after I retired, and been doing expert witness work for about 12 years.
Oh, I see. I get it. I had a mistake. So you started the expert witness work after you had retired. Let's talk a little bit about what your career was like working for OSHA. I explained but give me a crash course in what OSHA actually does. And you know, OSHA, we know they set standards, but are companies always required, you know, by the government to follow OSHA's guidelines? How about that?
Well,
or not?
Employers have a duty to follow the regulations that apply to them. And then, you know, if they don't follow those minimum and realize these are the minimum regulations, employers can exceed those and do much better than what is the minimum that's required by regulation. So, yes, employers are required to comply with the regulations that apply to them.
And so what kind of companies actually are required to adhere to OSHA regulation? What kind of businesses? I guess it really gets down to what kind of companies did you visit and advise on their safety protocols? Different industries.
Well, it's a wide range. I mean, you know, OSHA covers, you know, like seven different areas, but with seven different regulations. Primarily what I was involved in was manufacturing facilities and construction site, you know, type of environments. Occasionally some agricultural work, maybe some maritime work, but the other two were the primary ones, construction and manufacturing. And then you just go in and you look for hazards and you apply the standard, what you see, and then you review with the employer on what you saw that they weren't doing, that they need to be doing. That's pretty much it.
I mean, it could have been any kind of, could have been an automobile manufacturing plant. It could have been a lumber plant you were going in to look through. All kinds of different businesses came under your field of exploration, didn't it? Or didn't they?
Absolutely. I mean, it could be a manufacturer of cookies and it go all the way up to steel or whatever it may be. You know, building cell phone towers. On construction sites, digging trenches for, you know, underground lines. I mean, it's just a wide range of different things that I was exposed to that I worked in for that entire time.
And so when you go in to examine one of these facilities, what basically are you, what are your trigger points? What are you looking for that you know, might not be so apparent to someone like me who walks in a plant and looks around?
You know, you bring up a good point. There's a lot of times I would go to a job site or a manufacturing site, and we'd walk by something, and I'd say, well, we got to stop here. I have to document that was a problem. And the employer would say, you know, I walk by this every day, probably five, six times a day, and I never recognized it. So basically what you're doing is you're going out and you're doing hazard recognition, and then you're applying the standard to that, and then what you're hopefully doing is getting things corrected where nobody gets seriously hurt or killed on a manufacturing site or on a job site.
Well, I mean, what you're doing is really very, very important. I'm sure with your many years of experience with OSHA, think back and explain to me maybe one or two incidents that you saw that really hit you right off the bat. That's a danger. This company has to change what they're doing here. Anything come to mind right off the bat?
Well, right before I did leave OSHA for my retirement, I had a cell phone tower fatality. And unfortunately, that's what you get there after the fact and not before the fact. But, you know, all the things that was going on that job site was completely wrong. The job site supervisor wasn't making the employees abide by safety rules or regulations, even though they'd had training for that. And then in the end, whenever I got all my documentation and found out all the things all the information I gathered up, there were several willfuls issued against that company and several serious violations issued as a result of that. You know, so, you know, you look for, in that particular instance, you look for people who are climbing towers that are going to be wearing their harnesses, their lanyards, and everything, and, you know, full fall protection. You do not go 1 second without fall protection. So you know, you make sure that they're doing it safely and you observe what they're doing. And then, you know, if they're not, that's when you tell the employers, this is where you're wrong. This is what you got to correct.
What happened in that particular incident?
Well, that was the one there. I believe, if I remember right, it's been a little while ago. There was probably five or six willfuls and about three serious violations for what happened in that young man's fatality. And what I had learned in that was is they had just attended a fall protection class the week before, and they weren't wearing their fall protection. And the supervisor that was there supervising them was in the class as well. And that's why it made those willful instead of just maybe a regular serious violation.
So in other words, you mean climbing up the tower, what, did he fall and die as a result of a fall?
Yeah, it was a 390-foot fall. So,
whoa.
You know, that was a pretty long fall off of a cell phone tower. He was almost to the very top. Cell phone tower is 400 feet high.
Well, I mean, when it comes down to it, I agree the company was at fault maybe for not enforcing it, but it was his fault as well for not using the safety protocols that he should have been, wasn't it? I mean, when you come right down to it?
All right. You bring up a really good point in that. You know, employers have a duty to make sure their employees are trained, that they provide their right equipment to work with. They had done that. But the problem come in is the supervisor, they had had a history of not using fall protection, okay? And so the supervisor on the site is in charge of enforcing the rules in the absence of maybe the head of the company, you know, in higher management. They're dependent upon them out on the job site to be doing what they're trained to do. And there are some steps that employers could take in order to ensure that if they're going to try to exert what we call the employee misconduct defense or employer's affirmative defenses. But that employer was not able to meet those four requirements because of the fact the supervisor on site was not enforcing the rules and was not compliant. And so, therefore, you know, they was cited for all those different violations as a result of that.
Wow. I know you were featured in a story on Frontline when that happened. That goes back about 10 years ago. So what happened to the company? They weren't observing OSHA's regulations. Did OSHA? I guess the question is, did OSHA fine them, or do they have the power to do that, or what? How do you respond to that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the whole point behind OSHA, is to issue citations whenever they find things that are wrong. The question that comes in is what the severity of the hazard is, and, you know, all the different probabilities that come into the hazard, and, you know, the seriousness of the injuries. All those things come into play on what the fine's going to be. But, yes, that company was fined heavily over that.
Yeah. And when they're fined, where does that money go? Does that go to OSHA? Does that go to the government or the state or what?
I often had employers ask me if I made a commission on my penalties that were issued. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, that's not the case. If it was, I probably would have owned a small island in the Caribbean someplace if that had been the case. But, no, the penalties I was in Kentucky OSHA, not federal. That's a state plan OSHA program. And so the penalties that came in went into what we call the general fund, which goes to our roads, our schools, and so forth. It doesn't come back into OSHA or anything of that nature.
Oh, okay. So anyway, when you go and examine facilities, whatever kind of facility it might be, then you go back and fill out a full report, I guess, and file it with the state and with the company itself. To see any corrections that have to be made, would that be right?
Well, the general process is I would write the report, supervisor would review it, it'd be sent on up the line through the director, and if there's willful violations, it would be sent to like the secretary of the cabinet, you know, that OSHA was housed in, and then it would go out to registered mail to the employer. You know, so once I left the job site, my contact with the employer was virtually nothing from that point unless I was sent back for a follow-up inspection or they had another situation where somebody from the street or highway saw that they weren't complying and I got there and it was the same company, then I would have had another inspection with them at that point.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Did you spring examinations on these companies when you would show up, or did they know you were coming and prepare for you?
Oh, no. Well, in that situation, you know, it was obvious that somebody from OSHA was going to show up. But, you know, it's actually illegal for a compliance officer to give advance notice to an employer. And I only had one situation where advance notice was given, and that's because employees was on third shift, and it was going to be difficult to get into the job site on third shift. But otherwise, you when you arrive there, and they're totally uninspecting anything. You don't announce yourself beforehand. You don't call it beforehand. You just show up and explain to them why you're there, what the purpose of the inspection is, and get started with the inspection. And if they don't want a search warrant, then you move on and start the inspection at that point.
Well, that's interesting. Did they treat you nicely, you know, for the most part when you showed up, or did you feel like they didn't want you there at all?
Well, you know, there's always going to be people out there that are like that, and, you know, you have to just assume that you're going to run into those. But, you know, the vast majority of people were very cordial, very nice, very professional. You know, occasionally I had a few instances that got pretty, you know, hairy or, you know, stressful. But other than that, you know, a lot of it was just if you go in there as a professional, you act professional, you know, then most likely they're going to treat you like a professional and everybody's going to be fine in an inspection.
Well, you know, it must have been a very interesting career you had doing that with OSHA. And I know when you retired, then you turned around to start your own company, Greyhawk Safety and Health Consulting. I presume I know you're in Benton, Kentucky. That's your headquarters there. Tell me a little bit about what you do now as the head of this company. What does Greyhawk Safety do?
Well, primarily, like I said, I kind of migrated into doing mostly expert witness work for defense and plaintiff cases, and I do both sides. And whenever an attorney calls me about their case, I review it at that point. I also do emergency inspections. An employer calls me or a law firm calls me with a client who's had a serious accident or a fatality, they'll want me to come out and do an investigation immediately. I do those. I do the just, you know, a phone request, safety and health, OSHA-styled audits for employers. I help employers with their contest and, you know, if they're trying to get, you know, their citations settled and so forth. You know, so it's just a wide range. And one of the things that I really love to do, in addition to the expert witness work, is I love the training part of OSHA. Whenever you're doing the OSHA 10 or OSHA 30 classes, because those slides that they provide are very tedious and very boring, but I liven them up with my experiences throughout my career. And usually most people don't ever go to sleep whenever I'm giving a training class.
I'll bet that's true. Now, by the way, since you're doing this is your own company, I know you're still in Kentucky, but you could serve as an expert witness for law firms all over the country, couldn't you? And do you?
I've had clients all over the United States. I'm still waiting for those clients from Hawaii to start calling. But, I've had clients in California, Texas, New York, Florida. I may be based in a little small town in western Kentucky, but I go all over the United States.
You know, let me ask you a question. One of the things I know you were never trained in or prepared for was to go into a courtroom and being grilled by an opposing attorney. We see that happened on television all the time, and it is real. It happens in courtrooms. Have you ever had that kind of experience where, you know, attorneys were trying to trip you up or, you know, really get you to explain things that you weren't prepared for if you're sitting on the witness stand in a courtroom? Has that happened very often? Or not?
Well, that's pretty much what the other side's job is. You know, whenever you're in a defense case, you're working in a defense case or a plaintiff case, it's the other side's job to try to figure out how to trip you up. And that's just that's just part of it. But I did have a lot of actual training from OSHA on how to testify. Because throughout the 25 years, if an employer contested their citations, I'd have to testify. And so I did have a lot of training along that way. And I do, you know, a lot of depositions today and, you know, jury trials. I've got two coming up here fairly soon. So, you know, I don't really mind those. I find them challenging. And, you know, I actually enjoy those.
You know, that's interesting that you point that out, that you were trained while you were with OSHA for doing this kind of work, because I've talked to a number of legal, fellows like you who are doing expert testimony from their profession And some of them are doctors, you know, people in other industries. And that's the kind of thing. They were never trained in preparing for a court trial and being, you know, having an opposing attorney trying to trick them up a little bit. So that's an advantage for you. Let's talk a little about some of these cases. And I know you're called into a case. They don't always go to trial, right? A lot of the cases are settled before a trial date is set. Wouldn't that be the case with you as well, what you've found?
Well, you know, right now I've gained a couple of cases since we originally talked about, you know,
yep.
2 months ago. But right now I'm at 96 expert witness cases, and only 5 of them have gone to a jury trial. A lot of them settle before I even file an expert witness report. And then, you know, once I file a report, most of them settle anyways. And so I've got 2 jury cases coming up here in September and October, and I'm looking for them to call me up and say, we just settled the case. But if they don't, I'll go testify and be glad to do it.
How much work does it involve on your part to get involved in a case? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of preparation you have to do. You examine what the case is all about, what happened in a situation, do your own research. Explain a little bit about what it really takes to be a good expert witness. How would you answer that?
Well, you know, it depends a lot on what the case is. If it's a simple fall case, that probably doesn't require as much work as what a explosion, a dust explosion, a flammable materials explosion does. You know, I've had cases where I've had 3 depositions and could write a report real easily off of those, and I've had cases where they've given me 4,000 exhibits, and it takes 3 months to get through all the exhibits and to write the report. You know, so it's just a matter of going through the materials, understanding what applies, what doesn't apply, what needs to be used, and so forth, whenever you're preparing a report. And, you know, then you put all that evidence that you feel like needs to be in a report there, and you turn it in along with your own exhibits to demonstrate, you know, what your opinions are, why your opinions are the way they are.
Have you ever, in exploring and doing your research, been involved in cases that you felt rose to criminal negligence on the part of the party being sued?
Well, not as an expert witness. I had probably a couple of cases in our office with OSHA that I just kind of wondered if there was some of that. And we did have a case that was another compliance officer that we found out that another person actually pushed a person into something and they got killed whenever they did that. And that was criminal, but, you know, I never had anything of that nature happen to me in any time during my years with OSHA or any time right now as a consultant.
Do you enjoy doing this aspect of your career at this moment?
It's very it's one of those things that you never know what you're going to get till you get it, and you know you get you just enjoy going through it and the process, and no matter what the case is, you always learn a few things about some things that you wasn't aware of before. And, you know, that's just uniqueness to job sites or uniqueness to manufacturing companies. But you know, it's something that I just really enjoy doing, and I fell into it by accident, and the good Lord has helped me throughout my whole entire career and just pushed me forward. And things have just, you know, it's been a good career. It's been excellent.
Well, it sounds like you really enjoy it. You know, I know there – and let me ask you this. Are most of the cases, when they come to you – Is it always because it's been a violation of an OSHA regulation, which is what brings them to your door because you are, you know, you're a former compliance officer with OSHA? Or are there cases that really not necessarily involved with OSHA in any way? How about that?
The vast majority of them are related to something that would be safety and health through an employer-employee type of relationship. And third-party contractors or third-party employers who are involved are being sued because their work comp remedy is limited, but yet a third party caused a hazard. And so, you know, you're looking at the case from the standpoint of what that other party caused for a civil suit. But, you know, I also have had cases, not many, but a few, that OSHA is not even nowhere involved because it was like a person who fell off of something at a grocery store or, you know, somewhere, something of that nature that didn't involve OSHA regulations, but it might involve the ADA or something of that nature, or some different type of regulations.
Exactly. That's what I thought. I'm not surprised at that at all. I'm also aware that there are probably a lot of other people who are OSHA qualified who serve as expert witnesses. What do you think sets you apart from those other OSHA experts? That's a tough question to ask, but what would you say?
Well, for me, you know, my experience is I think any attorney who's looking to hire an expert needs to really look at their CV really strong for their background. You know, there's people out there who say they're OSHA experts, and like you said in your introduction, I really don't feel that they are OSHA experts. Now, they may be safety and health experts, but they're not OSHA experts. And so if the attorney is looking for an OSHA expert, I would be very in tune with looking for that person, if it's me or somebody else who has this type of background. Now, if you don't necessarily need an OSHA expert, it could still be me or somebody else who's never worked for OSHA. And so, you know, and it could be, you know, some other related type of field. But, you know, experts you're not supposed to take every case that somebody calls you about, because you have to be very, you know, picky about what you do accept. And, you know, so I give my clients, my future clients or potential clients, 30 minutes to review. So I know whether or not they even need to take the case or not.
Do you ever turn a client down?
Absolutely, I do.
You do?
I have.
Interesting. Yeah.
Absolutely. So.
You know, I was gonna ask, how do people get in touch with you? I haven't mentioned your website. Let me do this. It's greyhawksafety.com. It's a really good website. Good for you. Whoever helped you put it together did a good job. And that's how to get in touch with Randy. If you're an attorney and you're hearing this discussion or you're looking for someone or know somebody who is looking for an expert in this field that's OSHA-related for sure, Gray, G-R-A-Y, Hawk, H-A-W-K, safety.com. If you go there, you'll learn how to get in direct contact with Randy, and, you know, he'll get in touch with you, and you go from there to find out if he's willing to help you out in your case. So bottom line, when people come, you know, youngsters come up, and I know you help a lot of younger people who are going into this business. Do you recognize it? Do you recommend it? You've had a fascinating career. Do you think you recommend it to others?
Oh, absolutely. You know, a lot of people, whenever they come out of college with their degrees, they're looking for the higher paying jobs and what OSHA pays, you know, whenever you take a job with them. Because they notoriously just don't pay as well as what the private sector does for safety and health professionals. But if they were to take a job with OSHA and just stay 10 years as a compliance officer, they could, you know, leave OSHA and write their ticket for the rest of their life doing expert witness work from that point on. So, you know, I highly recommend doing this. It's, you know, it's something that's very engaging. It's very interesting, and it's never boring. And so I do. I encourage people to be involved.
And it's interesting because when you got into this field, you didn't really realize this aspect of it was going to be available to you later in your career, right? You had no idea, I'm sure, at that point.
I never even thought about it whenever I was with OSHA, and I never even thought about it for the first year I was doing consulting.
Yeah,
and so it just landed in my lap. It was one of those things,
Randy,
that just came my way.
It's just great talking to you. To get in touch with Randy, it's greyhawksafety.com. And, Randy, you're going to be back with us again next week, same time at 12 noon here on Close Up Talk Radio, continuing this conversation with Randy Gray about his work as an expert witness in legal cases, most of which are connected in one way or another with OSHA and the OSHA compliance. So, Randy, thanks for talking with us. We look forward to having you back, and have a great day. Okay? We appreciate it. Good job.
I appreciate your call, and I enjoyed the conversation. Thank you.
You are very, very welcome indeed. That'll do it, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Join Randy next week, same time, same station. Thank you. Bye.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.